We welcome all who come to St. Anne's today on this second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, proclaimed by Pope St. John Paul II many years ago, following the revelations that were given to St. Faustina Kowalska in 1931 of the image of the Divine Mercy of Jesus, who says, "Come to me without doubt or fear, and I will give you the treasures of my mercy." And a very special welcome to those who were baptized recently here at St. Anne's at our Easter Vigil, and those who are now received into full communion with the Catholic Church. I know some of them are with us today. Historically, the newly received into the church would dress in their white albs, the white christening dress of their baptism, and come to a church on the Janiculum Hill near the Vatican. And this was called Domenica in Albis, the Sunday of the White, in which they would then parade around and the new Christians would be celebrated as members of the community. So we welcome them and congratulate the 9 or 10 that came into our fold at the Easter Vigil last Saturday evening. There's always good news, right? And bad news. So on that Easter Sunday, Peter and Mary were walking along, and Mary said to Peter, "I've got good news and bad news." And Peter said, "Mary, tell me the good news first." And she said, "He is risen. He is truly risen from the dead. Christ is alive, Peter." Peter was so happy to hear the news, but then asked Mary, "Well, what's the bad news?" And Mary said, "Peter, he's looking for you. He wants to know why you weren't there on Good Friday." And they locked themselves away in the upper room for fear of the Jews. Yes, certainly. I also think they were afraid of Jesus. Think back to your childhood when you did something wrong and maybe mom would say, "You know, you're in trouble. But wait till your father comes home. Double trouble." And so naturally, just think about how you would respond if they all had abandoned you. Your family, your friends, your trusted colleagues, everybody that you know who should have been there on Good Friday, and they ran away. And some betrayed him, Judas, even Peter. This was not a good story of friendship. Think back on those times when friends that you thought were friends, maybe, were very weak in a moment when you needed them. And they said, "I'll be there for you. You can count on me. I have your back," they say. And then when the moment comes when you really need them and cry out to them and say, "Hey, I need help. I'm busy. Wish I could, but I just can't." Or the ones I love that say, "I'm here to help. You need any help? Sure, can you do this, that? Oh, well, I gotta go." See, we begin to doubt our friends when there's a pattern of behavior where they'll say, "Hey, count on me. Anything you need." And so when you really need them most, they run away. They're not there. They betray you. They lie to you. It's really hard to trust people who say one thing but do another. You can't count on them. You doubt. And you doubt them because you don't trust them. Thomas was afraid. Peter was afraid. They were all very afraid. Only Mary and John were at the foot of the cross on that Good Friday. All the others, hundreds, thousands of people that Jesus had healed and cured and taught and loved and showed great compassion to, they were all gone. You could say, sure, They were afraid of the Romans. They were afraid of the Jews. What would happen to them? They crucified this guy, so what's my lot going to be? But I think more, they were embarrassed, ashamed, and felt great guilt that they had let their good friend, their master, their teacher, down. So the natural reaction, if I were in these shoes, I'd show up and cross my arms a little bit and give Peter that look. Where were you? But Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't judge them. He doesn't say words like that. He says, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine when you have really betrayed a friend or something like that, and you worry and you don't sleep over it because you're just so anxious that, oh God, I just have let them down, and maybe I hope they don't find out that I was the one because I feel so ashamed, so guilty. And they come along and say, "Hey, I love you. Peace be with you. It's good to see you again." Can you imagine? That just lifts your spirit so much. And that's what our Lord does. And he says it again and again and again. And he'll be saying, "Peace be with you," for the next 40 days and 40 nights before his ascension, to reassure them of his love, his forgiveness, his divine mercy. And that truth has never changed. In all the other religions of the world, the gods get even. They show their wrath. They show their anger. We have to make a deal and barter some exchange of sacrifices to appease them, to keep them happy. No. No, Jesus doesn't condemn them. He doesn't get angry. He doesn't say, "Where were you when I needed you?" He says, "Peace be with you." It's beautiful. And they're so exhilarated. They can hardly believe what they're seeing. And what's fascinating about Jesus in the resurrection of his body is that he still shows the wounds of his crucifixion. "Thomas, go ahead, put your finger right here into those nail marks. Go ahead, press in, go ahead. Go ahead, put your hand right there where the lance sliced my side. Go ahead, put it right in there. See that no one has flesh and bones as I do. I'm no ghost. I'm real." So real. So real. Jesus keeps it real. And Thomas, then, the doubting one, the one who could not trust, now sees and believes and says, "Yes, OMG, oh my God." In fact, some scholars say it's not so much a recognition of my Lord and my God, but "Oh my God, I can't believe what I see." Incredible, unbelievable, but yet real, like so many things in life. And Jesus gives us, like Thomas, who often doubt the Lord. It's easy to trust the Lord when things are going well, when we're happy, and we're secure and healthy, when everything's going just right. But when the tough times come along, our own cross, and so often people are not there for us. We're alone and abandoned, and it's hard. But the one who's always there for us, and the one you can never doubt, is our Lord, because he's been there in every way. This is the only God who is a man in the history of any religion who understands human nature perfectly, because he's human perfectly. So even though he bears those wounds in the resurrection of his flesh and doesn't experience the physical pain associated with that, he remembers, as we all do when we look at the old wounds. And we say, oh, I remember. Oh, I remember now. It's all real now, y'all. It's all real. I can remember how much love I had for you when they pinned me to two pieces of wood and left me there for hours to die of asphyxiation. Incredible. He will always look to those wounds in his flesh and say, I remember. And I hope and pray they remember how much love and mercy I have for them until the end of time, when we too will be raised up in our flesh and behold his face to face in the resurrection of the dead. At that moment, I hope the Lord is not going to cross the arms and say, now look, let's do a little accounting here. No, rather, peace be with you. The eternal gift of my peace. That's why I came, to grant you the peace in the knowledge and faith of your salvation through me, not you, but through me. Come, put your hand into my side. Do you remember? Put your fingers into these nail marks. Do you remember? Because I do. And then our Lord goes on to say to Thomas, look, you're blessed because you see me. Because seeing is believing. But blessed are those who have not seen. And here we are 2,000 plus years later with Christian faith under our belts and billions of those who have gone before us who believe that Jesus Christ is alive. Not just in spirit, not just in some emotion, some psychological projection, but no, in the flesh, keeping it real. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's what we do every time we come to Mass. This is the upper room today with Thomas, the apostles, Mary, and the others who do not see him as they did, but we see him in glorified body and blood on an altar sacrifice, the body and blood of the Lord, who says, I do this for you once again. Do this in remembrance of me. Every time you do this, I will be offering again my gift of mercy and love to you through my sacrifice of body and blood. This is for you, that sins may be forgiven. What a beautiful gift from the Lord this day, as we rejoice with Thomas and the apostles and the church throughout the world, that once again, all these mysteries of his life, death, and resurrection are represented in the most beautiful and powerful way at the Mass. This divine mercy is a gift. Never take it for granted, and share that gift with those in need who are still doubting, the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of this most generous Savior.